Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Tulane SOPA, the Tulane School of Professional Advancement, offering online programs designed for working professionals who want to earn a certificate, complete their degree, or begin their graduate studies. Professional advancement begins at sopa.tulane.edu.
From Collins on St. Charles Avenue in Uptown New Orleans, we're Out to Lunch with Peter Ricchiuti, Tulane University A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and director of the Birkenroad Reports. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. The city of New Orleans is in Orleans Parish. For reasons that are mainly economic and infrastructure related, Orleans and neighboring Jefferson Parish are interdependent. The two parishes are very different. The rivalry between them isn't on the scale of the Saints and the Falcons, but it's definitely real. If you live in Jefferson Parish, the basic perception is, sure, New Orleans has great restaurants and music clubs, but it's dangerous, dirty, and dysfunctional. If you live in New Orleans, the perception is, sure, everything works in Jefferson Parish, but it's sterile and soulless. Nothing illustrates the real-world differences between the parishes better than the business stories of my two lunch guests. In Jefferson Parish, the heart of the retail economy is Veterans Boulevard. There used to be a bowling alley on Veterans called Paradise Lanes. In 1995, it was knocked down and replaced by a Barnes & Noble bookstore. The owners of the bowling alley retained a retail space in the Barnes & Noble building. They called the new store Paradise Cafe and Gifts. 21 years later, in 2016, two of the owner's granddaughters, sisters Jenny McGinnis and Jessica Woodward, along with their mom, Linda Dalton, transformed the store into a home accessories and gift shop and called it Fina, spelled P-H-I-N-A. Next, they opened two more Fina stores, one on Metairie Road and another on Harrison Avenue. In 2023, they bought a company called The Basketry. It specializes in personal and corporate gift baskets. Today, the combined companies have 50 employees and business is booming. Co-owner of this Jefferson Parish-based success story, Jenny McGinnis, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Our story from Orleans Parish is equally successful. It's based on a single word. The word that, if you live in Orleans Parish, has enormous practical and symbolic meaning. Potholes. Nothing typifies the perception of dysfunction of the city of New Orleans like the potholed state of our streets. In 2019, an anonymous person started an Instagram account illustrating the sorry condition of our streets. The name of the account is the sentence many New Orleanians say or think as they drive or bike around town. Look at this effing street. I can't say the F word on the air, and seeing none of our decade and a half podcasts are explicit, it's better to stick with effing there too. The Look at This Effing Street Instagram account was an instant success. People started contributing photos of New Orleans streets, and today the account has over 120,000 followers, including, by the way, the city of New Orleans. How do you monetize this kind of social media success? You can't exactly sell potholes, but you can sell merch about potholes. And that's what the anonymous founder of Look at This Effing Street did. He contracted with a local merch company, Ink Mule, to make stickers, baseball caps, t-shirts, and other pothole merchandise. The anonymous business person behind this successful social media-driven venture is still anonymous, so I'm going to call him Effing Street. Effing Street, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thanks, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Whoever you are. Jenny, both you and your sister walked away from successful careers to go into business with your mom in what was then a relatively small Metairie gift shop and home accessories business. You were a partner at Trumpet, one of New Orleans' most successful and well-regarded advertising and marketing firms. As a marketing specialist, you must have gone into this fully aware of how difficult and fickle retail can be. What was it you saw in that little store that gave you the courage to make that leap?
That's a good question. I think that no one was really doing the gift business the way we felt like we could do it. And Jessica and I always wanted to be in business together, wanted to be in business with our mother. We have a long history of family-run businesses, so we were just, you know, trying to figure out a way to work together, and it seemed like a perfect opportunity for us.
Was Mom insulted that you had new ideas?
No, not at all. I think that she saw the vision but didn't know exactly how to execute it on her own. So she was thrilled to be a part of it but not necessarily leading it, if that makes sense.
It does. Effin Street, you've done something millions of people around the world are trying to pull off every day. Even right now as we sit here, there are innumerable people in multitude countries trying all kinds of strategies to get noticed on social media. Of the few who manage to get noticed, even fewer have a successful strategy for monetizing that attention. Your partnership with local merchandising and branding company Ink Mule has been the key to creating revenue for your Instagram account. Did you start off with a plan to sell merch if this thing took off, or did success kind of come as a surprise?
I started off just posting pictures of streets that I found over the years and literally said to myself, look at this street, you know? And I've always been somebody who sort of monetizes ideas, and so that seemed like the logical next step. And then, you know, with the platform growing, I sort of got offers to do other things like an Urban South beer and some other collaborations, and went from there.
Now, I guess your big fear every morning is that the city fixes all the potholes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I always say that my dream would be to just be put out of business, but I don't think anyone sitting at this table believes that's going to happen anytime soon.
I think you ought to worry about world hunger or something like that. That's not ever going to happen. I have to ask you the obvious question. Why do you want to remain anonymous?
So I really just don't want Sewerage and Water Board to double my water bills. No, but really, it's more, I think that the platform works better without a single personality behind it. I think there's a lot of buy-in from the community, and that's sort of what we're tapping into, is this frustration that everybody can relate to. And so it really sort of evolved from me posting pictures to sort of a aggregator or a crowdfunded sort of platform. And I think if it was just me inserting my personality into every post, which I do a little bit, it would be less effective. It would feel like there wasn't the masses behind it. It would feel more like just a bad comedian posting on Instagram.
Jenny, when you bought the basketry, and I always think of this, I teach business at Tulane, so this always comes up. When you buy something like that, how do you know what to pay for it? You know, you know what I mean? It's not, you're not getting a lot of inventory or anything. You got the good name. What do you think you bought?
That is a difficult question. We had never purchased a business before. We didn't know how to do that either, quite honestly. It's a complicated situation with lots of equations and forecasting, and we had a good family friend who kind of helped us navigate the financials a little bit. But at the end of the day, it is a little bit of a guessing game. You know, there's some assets involved and there's historical revenue involved. But other than that, you know, it is a brand. And how do you put a value on a brand and future business? So it's a little bit of math and a little bit of luck, I guess.
That is a very honest answer. That's what, in the beginning, Effin Street, we have to wonder, you were taking pictures on your own, but then kind of a groundswell of photographs came into you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I started, you know, I had the idea for the account for a few years, and I would talk about it over beers with friends. I'm going to start this account. And then I never did it, and I had some free time in 2019. And I posted maybe 6 or 7 photos over the course of a few days. I got very quickly to about 1,000 followers, and one of those followers was the city of New Orleans, and I felt like then I had struck a nerve. And at first my goal was just to get blocked by the Sewerage and Water Board and Roadward NOLA. I was tagging them every day, and they were removing the tags in some cases. Then it sort of evolved, and people just started sending stuff to me, and I said, okay, I'm just going to curate the content here and put some captions together and let everybody else have fun in the comments section.
That's very New Orleans, right? To have a good time with a real problem. That is great. Jenny, one of the things you've done is, I guess once you got, well, let me ask you the chronology. Did you buy the basketry and then expand to two more stores?
No, we had three Pheno locations, and then we purchased the basketry almost a year ago.
And the basketry is, you could say it's a different business, but it's at least what, I think I use the word complementary.
Absolutely. We call it our sister store. It's very complementary in the sense that we call it the front of the house and the back of the house, similar to a restaurant. The front of the house is a retail gift store that is very much like Pheno. So that's, you know, what Jessica and I are very comfortable doing. The back of the house is honestly why we purchased the business. The gift boxes and gift basket business that the back of the house does is significant and has a tremendous, in our opinion, opportunity for growth. But it's different than the front of the house.
I miss the bowling alley. You know that. It was open
Jessica
late.
Jessica and I grew up in the bowling alley. We miss it very much.
It was
fond memories.
A great idea.
Yes. I don't know if it was a good idea. It was at one point, it was open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Yes, that's
which
what
is
I
not
enjoyed
a good idea.
It wasn't a good idea. I thought it was a great idea.
No, anything that happens at a bowling alley at 4 o'clock in the morning is probably not.
Not safe. Evan Street, you know, part of the problem, part of the problem is New Orleans, but is climate change part of why these holes are so bad?
Yeah, I mean, I always like to preface this by saying I am just a guy who posts on Instagram. I'm not a climate scientist or a subsidence expert, but I will say that I've learned a lot. I've talked with people on the account at Sewerage and Water Board, Roadwork NOLA, and I think that there's a draw to sort of oversimplify our problem as just mismanagement or just funding or just something else. But we have to acknowledge that we're in a very unique climate, very unique geology, and that all goes into it, along with the mismanagement and the rest of it.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I'm talking with someone we're calling Effin Street, the anonymous person behind the Instagram account Look at This Effin Street, and Jenny McGinnis, co-owner of the local gift shop and home accessory chain Pheno and gift basket company The Basketry. We'll continue our conversation when we come right back from this short break.
Out to Lunch is brought to you by Basics Underneath, fine lingerie, personalized fitting, curated swimsuits and workout wear, Uptown on Magazine Street, and at basicsunderneath.com. And by Infinite Health Integrative Medicine Center, specializing in longevity, health optimization, and regenerative medicine. More information at yourinfinitehealth.com. And by Tracy Moore, broker, realtor, and partner at Rev Realtors, offering over 20 years of experience representing buyers, sellers, and investors. Learn more at tracy.revrealtors.com.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I'm talking with someone we're calling Effin Street, the anonymous person behind the Instagram account Look at This Effin Street, and Jenny McGinnis, co-owner of the local gift shop and home accessory chain Pheno and gift basket company The Basketry. Jenny, what about more stores, and could they work, let's say, in the French Quarter? You're rolling your eyes already. That's not a good sign.
My sister's behind you shaking her head. I don't think that we rule out the idea of further expansion. Our staff might be a little perturbed with us if we expand again this year. Since we've opened, every year we've either opened a store, opened a warehouse, or bought a business. So I think this year we're going to fine-tune the businesses that are on our plate right now. I wouldn't rule out growth in the future.
Would that growth possibly take the avenue of franchising, or would you always like to own them?
I don't know. It's something that Jessica and I have talked about. You know, I feel like franchising might be an option just because we don't want to be spread too thin personally, but it would have to be the right person. We'd have to figure out how to vet that franchisee the right way. I don't know, but it's worth investigating.
I won't hold you to it, you know. Effin Street, let's talk about the concept of merch and how it works with you and Ink Mule.
Yeah, so Ink Mule is a local company, and they make it very easy to sell online. So they handle all of the design if you want, and then the printing, sourcing of all sorts of stuff. They do all my stickers, hats, T-shirts, koozies, whatever. And then warehouse it, ship it out for me, handle returns, all of that. So all of that is pretty turnkey, and it makes it really easy as, you know, sort of a one-man operator to get stuff out the door in a professional manner and not have me storing tons of stuff in my house and shipping it when I feel like it. So
you are sticking to your core competency.
Exactly.
What's the best? You've got a lot of great stuff. You even brought some today. What's the best selling of the merch?
The best seller is absolutely the pothole watchdog shirt. So it's a dog barking graphic, but the stars and sort of stripes from the sewerage and water board water cover. And then we also did a lot of the Never Trust a Puddle hats and T-shirts. And then my personal favorite is my other car is the bulldozer the city left in front of my house for 2 years sticker. That one didn't do as well, but it's my favorite.
Rolls right off the tongue. Yeah, I like
exactly.
It. There's Jenny, who buys these baskets? Is there like a two or three major kind of customers or industries that come to you?
Well, from a business standpoint, we do a lot of work with corporations that are sending out client gifts or gifts to their employees. So a lot of law firms, financial advisors, hospitals even, anyone who has a large base of either employees or clients that they want to gift for any reason. And it can be small gifts, like little, you know, welcome gifts, or large gifts. But we also do individual gifts. So if you have, you know, your girlfriend is having a birthday and you want to send a gift box, yeah, then, you know, we do a lot of individual gifting as well.
When I started looking into the company, I began thinking that one of the big things that guests talk to us about is retention. They can't keep employees. Something small like that might make a difference, right?
Absolutely. In fact, in the last few years, when so many people are working remotely, employers are using, you know, gifting as a way to make a connection with their staff that may not be all in the same office every day. So like a little, you know, welcome to the team happy, or a, you know, 1 year anniversary of your job, or, you know, congratulations on a project. Those little gifts that you send to your staff really go a long way. And it really doesn't even have to be anything expensive. It's a thought. We actually do a lot of the welcome gifts for performers at the arena or the Superdome. And we investigate, you know, we did a big one for Garth Brooks, and we investigate, you know, what he likes and what he doesn't like. And
what does Garth Brooks like?
Garth Brooks likes a very specific type of hat that I spent a very long time researching, trying to find the exact hat that he wears. And we did a custom guitar strap for him with his name on it, but also tried to make sure that it was something that he would actually appreciate. You know, we researched his style and his size and preferences. So those projects are fun.
I'll ask the flip side to what Effin Street asked you is, do you get requests like, you know, those rock and rollers that want M&Ms but not the blue M&Ms?
So, I mean, I think that's called a rider, and that's something that, like, the Superdome will handle for, you know, specifically what's in their dressing room. But we have asked for that before so that we know what to include and what not to include. Avoid the blue M&Ms.
Now, Effin, one of the things that has changed, I guess, is, like, the city of New Orleans, you know, they chip in, they say things, then the sewage and water board, and even the White House liked the way you would do. that's got to feel good. That's another step in the process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what you're referring to is, you know, early on, like I said, I was trying to get blocked, and then it kind of flipped, and I think that they realized there was a critical mass, and, you know, that this was actually beneficial because we're doing the work to show them a lot of things that you, a lot of context that you don't get from a 3-1-1 ticket. And so Roadwork NOLA and Sewerage and Water Board have been very responsive in DMs and in comments in terms of getting things fixed and also just updating. And then, yeah, Aisha Shah is the head of White House Digital Strategy, or was at the time. She turns out she's from Lake Charles or Lafayette, and she had followed the account, and they were trying to get the infrastructure bill passed at the time and were looking for collaboration. I think they were a little less willing to use Effin on their platform, which may have tanked the deal, but it was certainly, you know, an honor.
That would be my campaign theme. That was, but the model itself is attractive to them, I guess. It's, and Effin, what is your, this is difficult to ask, but do you have a favorite pothole?
Oh, so, well, yes. There's a little pothole in Algiers. It's fixed now, but for years and years it was not. And a woman named Shannon Sanders on Eaton Street would decorate it like monthly. And so one time it was a Saints player made of like trash bags, and she had a numbers and a helmet. One time it was Jim Cantore when it was hurricane season, and Jim Cantore actually commented on the photo. And she does it for all seasons. And, you know, that's one of those ones that, while we appreciate that they fix the potholes, it will be sorely missed.
That is so New Orleans.
Isn't it? That is the
greatest. It's like the quintessential New Orleans.
Absolutely.
Thing.
And that's part of the fun, is just seeing the creativity. You know, there's this sort of like, and I don't want to, you know, make New Orleans look like a terrible place by any means. I think that there's a lot of fun that we're having in this commiseration of the state of the streets. And so people are decorating things. There's another one on, I think, Annunciation and Webster that's been probably 4 years, where it's planted with flowers in the spring and it's planted with gourds and little solar lights in the fall, and they keep it seasonal over there, you know?
Oh, boy. Now, I'll ask both of you this. What is your relation to tourists? Like, do tourists, do they get out to Jefferson Parish? Have they heard about you?
So I would say for FINA, not so much. Not so much tourists. We do have a lot of out-of-town customers that we ship to. We have an online business, a website. But the basketry, absolutely. We do a lot of work with the hotels downtown, a lot of welcome gifts in hotel rooms, a lot of gifts that are sent to people who have moved away, a little taste of New Orleans. So there's definitely a lot of that on the basketry side.
So when you mentioned that, would you have things like Tabasco and things?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we do a lot of Zapps, Tabasco, French Market coffee, lots of New Orleans products that we put in our boxes and baskets, and always looking for new ones.
Effin Street, what about you? That I think all I can think of is that these tourists come here, they see these bumper stickers, and what's their reaction, and do they want to buy it?
Yeah, so the amount of times that someone has DM'd me and sent, you know, they're a tourist, they're new to town, they send the same picture that I've already seen a million times of the one on Royal Street or whatever, but they say, my Uber driver who picked me up from the airport told me about the account, and they follow, and they come from there. And so I've been surprised to see how many people send pictures of them wearing a Pothole Watchdog shirt or a satin jacket, like in Atlanta or in Milwaukee or wherever. And we ship them all over the country, and that's been a surprise. And, you know, I think a lot of that is just, it's cool to have New Orleans stuff, even if it's about the crumbling infrastructure. It's just one of those things that we have going for us.
Who decided to build a city below sea level? That
wasn't me.
I don't know what was going on with Bienville there. That seemed to be an obvious problem.
Jen, you know, one thing that I I get a lot of requests, and like I'm always open to collaboration with local people. As we've done a We Might Be on Fire collaboration with blankets that sold like, I was like, who wants a blanket? And then they sold like crazy. And then we did Look at This Fuck effing Wheat. Like, maybe we should put together some sort of pothole-themed basket here.
I would love that. We're always up for collaborations. In fact, we were just talking about that last week. Like, what other, you know, local businesses would we want to collaborate with? Look at This Effing Street did not come up in that conversation, but I am 100% open to it. I admire what you've done so much.
Thank you.
I find it fascinating.
We could put the basket right there in the pothole and take pictures of it.
I feel like a pothole filler might be in
little
line.
Little pieces of asphalt?
Yeah, well, like a big basket that could just like take up the pothole.
How about a tourist like take home that's just a chunk of a New Orleans street? We can arrange that.
Oh, yeah. He knows where they are.
And we can wrap it.
Next time you're driving along Veterans Boulevard, Harrison Avenue, or Metairie Road, you might notice one of the three Fina stores, but you probably won't think anything at all about the street you're driving on. If you keep driving east from there, on surface streets, you'll cross the parish line into Orleans Parish. At that point, you may well find yourself remarking, look at this effing street. Jenny and Effing Street, your respective experiences are model examples of the differences between Orleans and Jefferson parishes. But your histories and your businesses are also representative of the synergy that exists between the two parishes and the people who live, work, and play in both of them. It's been great to meet you. Thank you both for taking the time to join me today on Out to Lunch.
Thank you for having us.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Jenny McGinnis, the co-owner of Fina and the Basketry, and the anonymous owner of the Instagram account Look at This Effin' Street. We edited the show to fit into the time slot here on WWNO. You can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about Jefferson Parish gifting and Orleans Parish potholes by listening to the Out to Lunch podcast. You can find and subscribe to the Out to Lunch podcast on your podcast app and on our website, itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsneworleans.com and on our Out to Lunch social media. These photos were taken today by Lake Longlinet. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our researcher is Amy Irvin. And today's show was engineered by Blake Longlinet. I'm Peter Ricciuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the lunch table for more business New Orleans style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch was recorded live at Columns on St. Charles Avenue. Columns serves lunch and dinner 7 days a week, hosts weddings and private events, features evenings of live jazz and more. Reservations for dining and hotel rooms are at thecolumns.com. Columns is a member of New Orleans & Company. More information at neworleans.com.
Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com.
And by Tulane SOPA, the Tulane School of Professional Advancement, offering online programs designed for working professionals who want to earn a certificate, complete their degree, or begin their graduate studies. Professional advancement begins at sopa.tulane.edu.
Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at mitchellforeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.